Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
This morning, title of my sermon for you this morning is The Greatest Day in History. Glory to God. How many know that we celebrate the greatest day in history right now here today? We're going to be reading from, I think, one of the best chapters on the resurrection, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read three verses of scripture from that chapter. Verse 13, verse 20, and verse 57. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you have it, say amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 13. And the word of the Lord says, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." Verse 20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And now scroll down to the end of that chapter, verse number 57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Saints of the Most High, you may take your seats this morning in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Glory to God. Today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday morning. It's the most important day in the Christian faith. This is the day that we remember the victory over the sin of the earth, the grave. This is the victory of Christ. It's over hell itself. Glory to God. This is the day that the door to God, the gate, the way was opened again for mankind. I like to say that it is the greatest day in the history of the entire world. When you think of history, you have to think of it as his story. This is the day that his story has been told for generations and generations and generations. I will say this, today is Resurrection Day, even though many will just call it Easter. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that later on in today's message. But Easter truly is the devil's story. It's not his story. It's the devil's story. And I'm going to prove that to you in a little while. Resurrection Day is often overshadowed by little bunnies and little eggs and colorful decorations and grass baskets and all kinds of chocolate. Praise the Lord. The devil is a lie. Hallelujah. Nowadays, I don't even know if people could afford the eggs because they're like $6 a dozen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know if many eggs will be decorated today with eggs being that high. Praise God. But Jesus is the resurrection and Jesus is the life. Hallelujah. There's only one question about life, death, and eternity. And I believe everyone has to know the answer to this question. And that is Christ Jesus truly risen? Is he resurrected? The answer is astoundingly yes. Praise God. The Jews and the Pharisees had a question for Jesus, especially right after he cleansed the temples. Last week we were talking about in Palm Sunday how he came in and one of his first acts was to turn over the tables, the money changers in the Father's house, because they made his house into a house of thieves and robbers. And right away after saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," now all of a sudden they're saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." How quickly we flip on the Lord and on things that we don't like. When something we disagree with comes in, everybody's emotional level changes. Everybody's thought process changes. And right after all of this, the Pharisees and the Jews, they begin to ask Jesus questions. And they said to him in John 2:18, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things? And Jesus answered in the very next verse. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And many of them were looking at the temple that he had just cleansed, and they said, man, it took centuries to build this. It took thousands of people to build this temple. And you're saying, if you destroy this temple, you're going to build it back up again in 3 days? You and what army? You see, everything Jesus does, he's always speaking in the spirit realm. They couldn't understand because everything with them was in their natural mind, their natural state, a carnal mind thinking. And they're thinking he's talking about the church building. But Jesus was referring to his own body. He said, you tear this body down, and in 3 days, I have the power to raise it up again. Jesus had already knew his purpose for coming to earth in the first place. This was the reason for his coming. His purpose was to fulfill God's will and to reconcile man back to God. I love this verse of scripture. I don't know how any Resurrection Sunday message can be used without pointing to the very gospel in one verse. It is the 32nd evangelical gospel message, the good news in one verse. If you only had 30 seconds to share the good news with someone, you can share this verse of scripture. It has everything you need to be saved forever and ever. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave, that's his love, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Glory to God. God's desire is not that any single one of you here, not any one of you at home, would perish. Hell wasn't created for you. Hell wasn't created for me. It was created for the devil and his angels. But God is so good. He's such a loving God that he gives us the desires of our heart. And if your desire is not to be with him, if your desire is not to serve him, if your desire is not to know him as Lord and Savior, then that's a decision already made by default. And that means when the day of judgment comes, when the time comes where you have to stand before a holy God, he's going to grant you the very desire of your heart. That meant you didn't want to serve him here on earth. You didn't want to live a life for him here. You wanted to do nothing with him on earth. You couldn't care less about him here on earth. And now you want to go up to heaven and say, well, if you forgive me, I'll just gladly just walk right on in. But it'll be too late at that moment. Amen. This is why the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Glory to God. I love Joshua in scripture. He goes, if you want to serve the gods of your forefathers, you want to serve Baal, you want to serve all these Dagon and Begon and all these other ones, then you go ahead and serve them. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's my phone. Amen. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Listen, everything in my house serve. My dog will serve the Lord. My cat will serve the Lord. The fish is going to give glory to God. The bird's going to go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everything in my house. You know why? Because my house is dedicated, separated, sanctified, redeemed. This blood brought, this blood washed. Hallelujah to Jesus. The peace of God dwelleth there. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Listen to this. It's so important we get this in our spirit. For as in Adam, all die. That means in the flesh. Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. We know that the Bible refers to Jesus Christ as the second Adam. He came and made a way where there was no way before. John 6:39. It says, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. Let me tell you something. This is powerful stuff, especially for those that have lost loved ones. If they knew Christ, if they walked with Jesus, if they had a relationship with the Master, let me tell you something. You're going to see them again. Glory to God. You're going to live together forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine the day of our reunion? Yes, we're going to be in the glory. We're going to be in glory, in paradise, in the celestial heavenly realms with Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden, mommy comes. Then all of a sudden, daddy comes. And then grandpa. And then grandma. And then Junebug. And Papo. And Tito. And Rocco. And all of the beloved ones. You're going to say, oh man, it's so good to see you again. Praise God. And Jesus and the holy host of heaven, they're going to sit you at the table. Jesus is going to pour the wine. We're going to have a 7-year party. Hallelujah. I've partied for a few long days in my life, and I've had to call out sick a couple days later. Praise God. But you have never been in a party that lasted 7 years. Praise God. That's a party. Celebration. Glory to God. But like the lotto commercial, you got to be in it to win it. Hallelujah. If you're not covered by the blood, you will be utterly consumed by the holiness of God. That's the truth. Let me explain that. We're going to have time. Praise God. Let me explain that. If I took a little Kleenex tissue, we do this in our discipleship class, and I took a wooden stick match and I lit the match. The match represents the glory of God. The tissue represents a human being, a soul. If I put that tissue and touched it with the match, what's going to happen? Poof. Right? It's going to be utterly consumed because the Kleenex tissue cannot stand to the power of the fire. Now, if I take that same example, I take a tissue and now I wipe it and all the ash and the dirt and I blow my nose in it. And now it's got boogies on it. It's got all this filth and grossness. I'm getting graphic because that's what sin is. It's a stench in God's nostril. Now I take this dirty rag, but I dip it in a glass of Hawaiian punch. Red. Boom. And now it's sopping wet. Now I take that match again, which represents the glory of God. What happens? Psst. You know why? Because if you're covered by the blood, it doesn't matter how guilty you are, how dirty you are, how gross and grimy, whatever you've done, the blood of Jesus covers over all sin. It covers over, and now you're allowed to stand in the presence of a holy God and walk in. And when he looks at you and he says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't get it twisted. It's not because of what you did, but because it's of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers over another living soul. He said, I will not lose not a single one that the Father has given me. Colossians 1. 19 through 20, for it pleased the Father that in him, that's Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile, that means to bring back into order, to bring back to the right place, reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through what? The blood of his cross. Hallelujah. So many people don't understand it. But the cross was God's plan. Blood had to be spilled. That was the only way that we could receive forgiveness. That was the only thing that would appease the wrath, the judgment, the holiness, the perfection of God. Let me give you the scriptural basis for it. Hebrews 9:22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Glory to God. Jesus stepped into our world. He became man. He became flesh. He became our exchange. Jesus himself is the Lamb of God, God's most precious little lamb. He paid our debt. He redeemed us. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. oh, the love, oh, the power, oh, the majesty of the King of Kings. Who are we? Who are we that he is mindful of us? Wow. These scriptures that I've just read, it points to the very greatest event in the history of mankind. In the history, I would even go further out and say, in the history of the universe. I don't know if there's life out there. The Bible doesn't say nothing. But whatever's out there, even the stars, the planets, the galaxies, all know Jesus is alive. He is the King. He has been risen from the dead. And now he is the power of the universe. Glory to God. These scriptures point to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Glory to God. I can think of nothing greater. Think about this. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more astounding than the resurrection of the dead. I need you to think about this, people of God. Imagine if you're in a funeral and you're seeing one of your loved ones in the box, and all of a sudden everybody's weeping, and they just come up and say, sup. Some of y'all go, run out of the room, say, what is this? What is this? This is crazy. Others would say, oh my God, he's alive. He's alive. She's alive. We'd go and hug him and kiss him. There's nothing more powerful than the resurrection of the dead. All these religious gurus, all these people, Muhammad, Buddha, like my brother was saying, they're all dead. They're all dead. Their bones are in the ground. But there's a tomb in Israel that is empty. Hallelujah. And millions of people go there every year. Every year they pay thousands of dollars to go into a tomb and see nothing. My Savior lives. He is risen. Glory to God. One of the greatest chapters, listen, if you're taking notes, write this down. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a powerful chapter. There's 59 verses, but it's a powerful chapter on the resurrection and what it means to us, to you and me. Paul at this time was writing this letter to a troubled church. I remember one time I did a message called the Corinthian Catastrophe. Because the church was set up and it was a good thing. He went in there, he gave them the message, he gave them the doctrines, and he went back like 3 years later, and now there's people having orgies and parties and doing all debauchery and sorcery and wickedness, and they're lying and they're cheating. And these are the people of God. This is the church. It was a catastrophe. There was so much carnality, and Paul had to go back and redo and reteach. But during this time, yes, there were divisions. There's carnality and immorality, confusion. But even still, there is victory. Glory to God. Paul ends his letter about the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to point out to you three verses that we read this morning, and they all started, if you notice, with the word but. The first one, but if there is no resurrection, this is verse number 13. Listen to this. How frightening of a prospect would it be if there was no resurrection? Imagine, what if Jesus did not rise from the dead? And this is what he was saying in 1 Corinthians 15. What if it's true that he didn't rise? What if he didn't rise out of the grave? What would that make us? There are a lot of what ifs in history that we have to wonder about often. What if Christopher Columbus didn't make his voyages? What if Martin Luther had not dared to stand for the truth? What if the South had won against the North in our Civil War? What if Adolf Hitler pushed his advantage and taken over England? What if the Dallas Cowboys ever win another Super Bowl? It's a dreadful thought to me. I can't even comprehend that. It's absolutely terrifying.
Get the oil.
Get thee behind me, Satan. But none of those what ifs ever compare with the what if there was no resurrection. Without the resurrection, all preaching would be in vain. Our faith would be in vain. It would be empty and useless. Truly, those that cry out cessationism, cessationism, it would be a fact for them. We would remain dead. We would remain hopeless. We would be bound to our grave forever and ever. We would remain in our sin. We would remain sick and even delusional. We would perish and never see heaven. But, verse 15, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me go here. Revelations 1:8, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Glory to God. We can shout this morning with a voice of triumph. Our Savior is alive. Hallelujah. There isn't any more ifs. Glory to God. The gospel has meaning. The good news is really good news. Now our faith is sure. There are signs and there are wonders. There are healings and deliverance. Glory to God. People are being set free from demonic strongholds and burdens. And it's a sure sign of our salvation. Our salvation is guaranteed. Our God is dependable. He's reliable and he is all powerful. Glory to God. How many know that your sins, though they were many, are forgiven thee? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Our heavy load is lifted. Hallelujah. Our record, our slate is clean. Christians now go to heaven, and when they die, they go right into the presence of God. And one day, praise the Lord, their body will be resurrected in a glorified state. They'll be in a new body. Maybe that's not exciting to you. I'm carrying around a lot of extra padding. Praise God. I want my old body back. I got a six-pack underneath this. Right now it's hidden by a big old jug. Hallelujah. But down there, somewhere deep there, man, I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger up in here. I would love a new body. I want a do-over. Praise God. Some of us have some jacked-up jeans. Praise God. Right? We got to live with it. Praise the Lord. I ain't scared. I could go to Nelson's class, but I'm never going to look like Nelson. Hallelujah. Ain't that ain't never happening right now. Hallelujah. But one day, I'm going to pick things up and put them down and pick things up and put them down. Hallelujah. One day, I'll be like Charles Atlas, like that. Pow! I'm looking forward to my new glorified body. Where people start talking nonsense, I say, yo, psh, go like this. Go right through the wall. Boom. And just disappear. Hallelujah. Where I could just say, you know what, Pastor? You going to Africa? Let's go. Psh, just fly over to Africa. Hallelujah. It's going to be a great day. A great day. The resurrection. Glory to God. This is the single greatest fact in the Christian faith. Without it, there is no Christianity. Everything that we believe, everything that we live for is based upon the truth of this historical fact. Without the evidence of the resurrection, nothing else fits. But with the evidence, everything fits. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 through 8. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. This is prophetic. And that he was seen by Cephas, then the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. But some have fallen asleep. That means they've died.
After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. What are these verses saying? People saw him alive after having witnessed the crucifixion, after having witnessed him being put in a tomb, after seeing the seals and the Roman guards, and all of a sudden on the third day, boom, and the rock is rolled away, and the tomb is empty, and the little shawl, well, part of it was folded. That means I'm coming back again. That was a Hebrew custom. It's so important, and so often people overlook it. When Jesus rose again, the shroud, there was a headpiece. I don't remember the name of it, but Jesus folded it. It was symbolic in the Jewish custom. If you fold something and leave it on the bed, it meant, dude, I'm coming back again. Hallelujah. Amen. He showed up and more than 500 people saw him. He did signs and wonders. There's 15 biblical accounts of Jesus interacting with people even after he was risen from the dead. There's a couple of verses of scripture where he's in the Sea of Galilee and the disciples are out there fishing. How many know when things don't go right, sometimes we revert backwards to the way things were? Instead of moving forward with all that we've learned, we say, well, let's just go back. And Jesus calls out, children, let somebody call me a child if I'm out there fishing and I ain't catching no fish. Can you imagine? They must have been heated. Children, have you caught anything? In other words, have you not paid attention in Sunday school? Have you not seen? Have you not heard? Have you not been paying attention? Or were you knocked out like this?
Come on.
Drop your nets on the right side. Listen, if you're in the middle of the lake, it don't matter where you drop the net. Amen? But they remembered, because the last time that happened, it was the master. And Peter went there with his cell phone, with his chancletas, with his jacket. He dove in. He said, that's the master. Praise God. And he went back, and Jesus had breakfast already waiting. You're waiting for fish. I got the fish. Don't worry about the fish.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And he interacted with them. Most people are not aware, but there's another powerful thing that took place in scripture. I want you to read it with me. Praise God. Or read it as I go along. Matthew 27, 51 through 53. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies, hold on, I don't know if you're reading this, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, that means they were dead, D-E-D, dead. I know. That's silly, honey. She's ready to correct me, man. Everybody needs a checker. Amen. They were dead, praise God. It says, many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. That is a foreshadowing of things to come. Can you imagine? You say, wait a minute, didn't we put you in the hole? Didn't we bury you in the ground? Weren't you cremated? What happened? And they come out and say, Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord. He is the King. He is the King of kings. Glory to God in the highest. Whew, that's powerful stuff. How come they don't talk about that? So many religions say, don't read the Bible. You're never going to understand. Only a priest can understand it. No, the veil was torn. We have direct access into the very presence of God, into the throne room of the Father. We don't need nobody to pray for us. The Holy Spirit is our mediator, our intercessor. We go right straight to the Lord. It's so important. There's so many people, and I say this respectfully, so many people still praying to someone who can't help them. I'm talking about Mother Mary. Her assignment is complete. Glory to God. Holy among women, chosen by God. But at her death, her assignment was fulfilled. Mary didn't go to the cross. Jesus did. Jesus bled and died. And in heaven, Mary doesn't have influence over God, and she doesn't have influence over Jesus. I can go there. I can go there all morning. Praise God. But the reality is, no one made a way but Jesus. Through him and him, no one comes to the Father but through the Son. And the veil was torn, because up until this point, only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies once a year. But when the veil was torn, now there was a reconcilement. There was reconciliation. The blood that never lost its power. It's through the blood that you have gained access to the very throne room of God. This great earthquake, it tore the temple veil in two. And it's wonderful that the veil was made of flesh, of leather, and it was ripped. The Roman soldiers, they witnessed this and they said, truly this was the Son of God. Can you imagine a heathen saying that? Guess what? Every time the Lord shows up on the scene, every time God speaks in the Bible, there are earthquakes. The mountains rumble. The earth trembles. That's power. I never seen Muhammad speak and the earthquakes. I never seen Buddha give some kind of a proverb or something and the earth shakes. The king is coming. The second coming, there's going to be another massive earthquake that's going to renovate the entire world. That's power. Graves are going to be opened again, and the saints will rise resurrected. Glory to God. Now, I say this respectfully, but I think we've said it enough in this church. But for those that are here, maybe the first time, the rapture and the second coming are two different events. The rapture, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, is where we are harpazo, rapturo. We are caught up, translated. We are taken up into the clouds to meet Jesus in the heavenly realms. And then the second coming is when Jesus comes back again, Revelation 19, the second coming, where he comes with the armies of heaven, dressed in fine white linen. Who is the army of God? That means the redeemed. Angels aren't redeemed. It is you and I who are blood brought, redeemed, and we are dressed in fine white linen. We are going to be riding white horses with the Master, and we're going to be in the armies of heaven. How can we come back with Jesus if we weren't raptured up with Jesus? Amen. I'm a pre-tribulation pastor.
Yes, thank you.
Pre-trib. I'm not a mid-trib or a post-trib. I'm a pre-trib. And we should be all pre-trib, because the Bible gives countless verses to prove that the wrath of God is not reserved for his church, for his children. I will keep you from the hour of trial that falls upon the earth, says the Lord. Do you know that when Jesus rose again, something very interesting happened? Time split right in half. The calendar change, B.C. and A.D. Every time you write a check, every time you look at the phone and it says today's date, March 31st, it represents the risen Christ. Let me read a few quotes. I love these quotes. One from Franklin Graham. It says, we must not forget that it wasn't the Jews or the Romans that put Jesus on the cross. It was my sin, your sin, our sins that put him up there. Peter Marshall says, the stone was rolled away from the door, not to permit Jesus to come out, but to allow the disciples to come in. And this one is author unknown. It says, three nails didn't hold Jesus up on the cross. Love did. Glory to God. My last verse, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the resurrection, we have victory. We have victory over sin and death and the grave. We even have victory over the law.
Do you know there are still believers that still operate under the law? We're no longer bound by the law. We are to live as free men, not allowing our freedom to cause us to sin. We are no longer bound. Jesus said, your captivity in sin is over. We are free in Jesus. Jesus overcame. He wears the victor's crown. 1 Corinthians 15:57 through 58. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it is so important, saints of God, to understand the resurrection, the truth of this wonderful, wonderful, greatest day in all of history. Do not allow yourself to be clouded by all the deceptions of man, for the devil is out there trying to rob and steal and take away yet another holiday away from the body of Christ. There are demonic forces that are still coming against the resurrection to this very day. They still plot and scheme against God. The devil never banked on the resurrection. He thought that he had won a great battle that day. He thought he put Jesus in the ground, but he didn't bank on the resurrection. This is why this holiday that we celebrate today, it drives him so mad. I want you to think about this, saints of God. Do Buddhists, Muslims, and all other types of religions out there, do they have little rabbit eggs holidays, or do they celebrate Santa Claus and reindeer? Think about it. Do they have Easter eggs, fairy godmothers, and fairy dust? They don't. It's only the Christians that have their holidays perverted. The devil can only pervert that which is true, praise the Lord. He does not have to pervert that which is already perverted. This is why Muslims and all that, they, as long as they keep serving false gods, he ain't going to mess with them. He's only going to defile that which is truth. And that's why the enemy is trying to intercept every Christian holiday, every reference to Jesus in the resurrection of Christ. He's always trying to pervert and defile the truth by deception. That's his greatest strength, is deception. He's the father of lies. But with knowledge comes power. And I'm telling you today, I aim to spread truth bombs in this house today when it comes to the subject of Easter. Today, I'm going to give you a little brief history on Easter and the tradition, the education, the history, holiday of Easter. Where did it come from? Let me begin. And this is something we do every year. Praise God. Number one, Easter is a pagan holiday. It represents homage and worship to the goddess Semiramis, her husband Nimrod, and their son Tammuz. I ask you to pay close attention. You're going to learn something today. Amen. Semiramis was married to Cush, Noah's son, and they had a son named Nimrod. This was Noah's grandson. After the death of his father, Cush, Nimrod, listen to this, this is gross. Nimrod married his own mother, Semiramis, and they had a son named Tammuz. This was the incestual son of that relationship. Nimrod became known as a godman to the people, and Semiramis was known as a powerful queen. Nimrod was killed by an enemy and was cut into 14 different pieces. That means his body, after death, was cut into 14 pieces. Semiramis, this is like some Frankenstein story, Semiramis went out and tried to find all 14 pieces of his body, but she was only able to find 13 pieces except for one of the body parts. And that part was the male organ, okay? The male genitalia, all right? And that was believed to have been fed to the fish in the sea. This is why it is important, because we have politicians and everything always giving homage, right? 14 represents the 14 pieces, and the fish represents the eaten piece that was left over. It's pretty gross. This happens to be one of the biggest political campaign organizers for others, which I'm not even going to get into right now. But when you think about this human phallus, you've got the Washington Monument, the obelisk, which is representative of that missing organ. If you look at cemeteries everywhere, you look at almost every city in the United States and all over the world, there's obelisks everywhere. And again, it represents the human organ, the phallus. They're everywhere, every city. Even Freemasonry uses this as their symbol. Semiramis then claimed that Nimrod ascended to heaven and he became Baal, which is the sun god in Egypt. She taught that the moon was a goddess and that it went through a 28-day cycle and ovulated when full. She further claimed that she herself came down from the moon in a giant moon egg that fell into the Euphrates River. This was supposed to have happened at the time of the first full moon after the spring equinox. And I'm bringing this to your remembrance for those that have never seen this. But back in 2011, Lady Gaga came into the Grammys. Listen, Christians, if you're still watching the Grammys, I don't know what else to tell you, but you gotta stop watching this foolishness, this garbage. They're paying homage to the devil in almost every single one of these meetings. There's all kinds of symbolisms. But Lady Gaga, who's of herself a professed witch, she came in an egg. And this was to commemorate her album called Born This Way. And she was paying homage to Semiramis, the queen. And then when she finally was able to go on stage, that's when she got out of the egg and performed her demonic ritual song. And Christians out there clapping and loving her, buying her albums, all this crazy stuff. Semiramis is known as Ishtar, which is later pronounced Easter. And her moon egg is Easter's egg, or Ishtar's egg, which is now called Easter egg. I'm getting somewhere with this. Hallelujah. Ishtar became pregnant and claimed that it was the rays of the sun god Baal, that means her ex-husband that died and became a god, and that she conceived trying to mimic the Immaculate Conception, a counterfeit, a cheap knockoff, and that she and her lover had made her pregnant, and now they bore a son, and they called this son Tammuz. Tammuz was very fond of rabbits, and they became sacred in the ancient religion. Tammuz was later killed by a wild pig, and Semiramis claimed that he also ascended to heaven and joined Nimrod as what is now called Ra. To commemorate his death, she proclaimed a 40-day period of fasting. She called it the period of sorrow and fasting each year on the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. And during this time, no meat was to be eaten. The Catholics have adopted this practice, and they call that period Lent. And this is where the Easter egg bunny and that whole little story came from, and Lent. It is a pagan holiday. The devil perverted yet another one of the glorious holy days for Christians. Birthed from the death of evil people, Semiramis, Nimrod, and Tammuz, who are the founders of this crazy stuff. And now they're celebrated everywhere in every nation. Even churches today have bunny rabbits and eggs all over, Easter egg hunts and everything. It's pretty sad. Did not the angel say, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Jesus is alive. He is risen. Semiramis, Nimrod, and Tammuz are dead. There's no such thing as the little Easter bunny delivering good eggs or decorated eggs to good kids." For those that believe that or even allow their kids to believe that, they've been hoodwinked. Sad. Even Sound of Life Radio announces almost every few hours, "Hey, come to this church, Easter egg hunt. Come to that church, Easter egg hunt." Listen, we need to pray for them. Yes. I remember years ago, one church actually had a helicopter hired, and they dumped
Easter eggs from a helicopter onto the grass for the little kids to go and run and catch all the Easter eggs from a helicopter. How silly. Now, many people, and I hope I'm not offending anyone here, but many people may have Easter egg hunts planned today for their kiddies right after church. Many will hand out Easter egg baskets, if not already, to their kids, never realizing that they might be participating in homage to a wicked and evil queen, a queen and her offspring. So I just want to give you peace this morning. If you have an Easter basket that you plan on giving to your children, you're okay. Hallelujah. You're not held responsible if you didn't know any better. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give them the basket. Amen. You're not going to hell. There's grace and mercy for you. Praise God. So smile and relax. But going forward, just think about the facts. Is this a celebration that is honoring Jesus Christ? Think about things like Halloween, another pagan holiday. Is it worth celebrating? Does it honor God? If your kids want candy, just go out and buy them candy. Amen. But why do we have to put dead goblins and ghosts and witches and everything on our lawn and give homage to the dead? The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Saints of God, knowledge is power. The Bible says the truth will make you free. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth that prevails. But even still, this holiday, this Resurrection Sunday, is under attack. This is something that I just discovered. But listen, today, of all days, the transgender community, The I call it the alphabet people, the LGBTQ, elemental P, Q, R, S, T, Y, Z people, plus. Because every month there's a new letter. But now it's not good enough to just be seen in public. They want a national holiday to be recognized and seen. They call it International Transgender Day of Visibility. Our beloved president, who we should be praying for because he needs Jesus Christ, who happens to be a Catholic, but has signed so many demonic laws into order. But today, March 31st, is now recognized as National Transgender Visibility Day. Of all days on Resurrection Sunday morning. I can't even make this stuff up. But I'm going to move on. We're already way past that. Amen? Jesus conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered his enemies, and he rose again. Colossians 2:14-15, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which are contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, glory to God, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. This is our victory over all those people and over all the enemies of the cross. Glory to God. Those that trust Jesus will never be separated from him. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me read Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord said, among the remnant who the Lord calls. And before I close, John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Have you come to Jesus Christ this morning? In closing, I want to look at the last verse. Actually, I'm going to get there. Amen. Let me do this. I didn't put a slide. Let me read 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Responsibility follows truth. Always abound in the truth. Always abound in the work of the Lord, occupy until he comes, like we discussed last week. Do business until he comes. Evangelize. Share the gospel. Be steadfast and immovable. Don't cave in or cater to the worldviews and the social cultures that are out there. Act on the truth of God's word. Rejoice because Jesus is alive and he is coming again. Revelations 22, 12 through 14, it says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. God bless you, saints of the Most High God. Hallelujah.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.